you believe in Jesus, he's the best thing you could ever, ever find. He's so real, real, real in my soul. And why won't you, would you believe in Jesus? He's the best thing you could ever, ever, ever find. He's so real, so real.
Evening, I'm going to read to you Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, the 10th through the 17th verses, and I'm reading the King James Version. Again, that's Isaiah 43, 10 through 17. Join me with your Bibles, with your gateways, with your laptops, with however you get into the Word. Join us, Isaiah 43:10 through 17. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. 11. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, and army and the power. They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and those who heard his word. In Jesus' name. Join us tonight as we continue to learn about what's in the Bible and how to interpret it and apply it to our everyday life on Let's Do a Radio Wednesday Bible Study with Reverend Ronnie Marshall out of Little Rock, Arkansas, and he's with the True Worshipers Ministry, and he's going to speak on why we exist here on earth, and that's taken from Revelations 4, 1 through 11. Again, that's Revelations 4, 1 through 11, 1 through 11, so get your books out, and I'm going to read that first verse. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. You could read the rest of the verses and come prepared with questions as we open our Bibles, which I consider the basic instructions before leaving earth, because everything you need to know, got to know, have, should have, should not have, comfort, love, everything else, your food from heaven, from your manna from up on high, is right there in the B-I-B-L-E. You could go to your laptops, your tablets, iPads, etc., and explore the lesson for the evening. And in order to keep us on the air, you got to donate to keep to Let's Do It Radio, the Cash App at $ISCVALCOUR, or to Venmo at MZ-INEZ, or to Zelle if you know my tell. Excuse me. I'm your hostess, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Alcu Designs, and I'm broadcasting and welcoming you, the worldwide listening audience, on this Wednesday, April the 10th, 2024, by calling in at 845-241-9985, 845-241-9985, to be on the air live, as they say, or to Skype, or listen in the chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio, or if you have anything you want to say, you know you can always text me. And if you ever miss an episode, you can always go back at the blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio and peruse the list and click on and press and play whatever episode you'd like to hear and listen to. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Let's Do It Radio. And every other Wednesday evening on Let's Do It Radio brings Bible study. So we're going to start with prayer, and then please welcome Reverend Ronnie Marshall, your Bible study teacher of the evening. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and welcome Reverend Ronnie Marshall of the True Worshipers Ministry out of Little Rock, Arkansas.
After this manner, therefore, I pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Good evening, everybody.
Amen.
To the esteemed host and to all of those that
are
listening and those that are on the line and then the worldwide audience, God bless you on tonight.
Yeah.
I will deliver to you what was given unto me that I received and was impressed upon me to share with you on tonight.
Amen.
Why we exist. Amen. Here in Revelation, the fourth chapter, and we'll read again verses 1 through 11. That is Revelation chapter 4. We began at the first verse, and then we will read as the Lord shall lead us. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning, thundering, and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the fourth beast had four beasts had each of them wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their thrones before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Amen.
For subject tonight, we want to talk about why we exist here on earth. If you notice, just before the 4th chapter began, Jesus was preaching to the churches. And he got down to us in the 3rd chapter, the Church of the Laodicea, which is the professing church today, which is us. Notice if you read Revelation 1 to 3, you see where Jesus commended all the other 6 churches, Thyatira, Sardis. He commended all of the churches from chapter 1 to 3, Church of Philadelphia. He commended all of the churches. But when he got to us in the 3rd chapter of Revelation, he opened with, I know thy works, know how you labor. I know how you can't stand those that say they're Jews and are not. He said, but I have something against you, to have something against you. He said, because you are lukewarm. He's talking to us, this church, this worldwide church, the body of Christ. Jesus preaches the last messages to the churches. Notice in chapter 4, the Spirit tells John that what he finna show him are the things to happen hereafter. So in other words, Jesus preached the last message to us, the church as we know it, here in the third chapter of Revelation, because he tells us, he said, y'all are lukewarm. You're neither cold nor hot. He say that you're full of pride. You say that you are rich and you have need of nothing. He said, but I want y'all to take witness, and I want to, he said, I want y'all to take witness that you are poor, blind, and naked. He said, he was talking to us because we had fallen from the place of expectation of holiness as unto our God. We had come into a place because God, just like he did Israel of old, modern day Israel, he gave us what we asked him to give us. And after he gave it to us, then we were not enthusiastic as we was before we were asking him to give it to us. And notice in the church people today, we sometimes, when we are in different situations and diverse needs, we really cry out to God. Lord, I need your help, and Lord, I want you, please do this for me, and we make vows and all this kind of thing. But Jesus tells us here, he said, you have left the estate where you was, and you become lukewarm because you're lusting after the lust of the eyes, you're lusting after the lust of your flesh, and you are full of pride because you say that you're rich, even though you're in this condition of a fallen nature. He said, you say that you're rich and you have need of nothing and you got it all together. He said, but you don't have it together. He said, y'all are lukewarm. You're neither cold nor hot. He said, but because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, he said, I'm finna vomit you out of my mouth. That's what he says here. He said, because you're not cold nor hot, I'm gonna vomit you out of my mouth. He said, because I would that you were cold or hot, but because you are not, he said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. But then he goes on to say that because thou sayest in your pride, I am rich, I'm increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. And Jesus comes back and he tells him, he said, you're thinking this way full of pride. He said, but knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiments thou mayest have, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And Jesus told me, he said, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now, he goes on to tell us whom he loved, he rebuked. Jesus, this is his last soul-saving message to the church before the church is called up into eternity as we know it. Now, we see here that God wants us to understand why we exist here on the earth so that we don't get the wrong mentality and we don't start thinking the wrong thing. Now, it tells us that God has created all things, and we were created for his pleasure. Usually when you speak of pleasure, you're talking about something that makes you happy. It brings about a feel-good sensation over you when it's pleasurable to you. And people sometimes get in trouble for pleasure. They leave their state of being one and break the oneness to do things that are pleasurable to the flesh, And that's what Jesus was telling them. He didn't want them to do that. He said, you're wretched when you do that. You become miserable because you become convicted of what you left off from the state of being whole and content to become wretched. He said he didn't want us to do that, but he wanted us to counsel us to take gold that's been tried in the fire, and he's going to give us raiments that are befitting, white, for the kingdom. So God wanted us to understand when he made us not for our own opinion and prerogative, but he made us for his pleasure. Not that we be suitable for men or operate under the banners of idols and graven images and not all of that kind of thing. He made us so that we could make him happy when he created us and transfigurated us from eternity to our mother's womb. He already had planned and predestinated and predestined a road for our lives. And he wants us to understand when he created Adam and Eve, he had plans for them of perfection. But because they failed, it caused him to have to delay his desire. And it did anger him. It did make him mad. But in his mercy, he thought about us, his creation, and he didn't want Lucifer to get the victory. So he bared with us in his anger. Is there any questions right about now?
Not the moment.
Oh, okay. So now he tells us, okay, I'm going to fix your situation. Jesus said he preached the last message over there in the third chapter of Revelation. And as you can see, the next things, the next activity is going on. It's in heaven. And now that the church has been taken into the place of rest for the saints in the presence of God, now he tells us, here's what's going to be hereafter. And he talked about those that were surrounding God, how the 24 elders sitting around the throne of God. After the last message of Jesus, then we wake up in eternity with God. Now, before this happens, while we are yet here, we can't lose sight of our purpose for the remaining of our time. We can't lose sight of our purpose while we are here. Why God created humans? Why did he ever think to create humans? Well, he created us so that we could come and we could live here on earth in a humanistic body and yet have his holy, perfect, and righteous character. And some people say that's a hard task, being that we are in this world of imperfection and in this world where they have built their own laws, they have built their own rules, and they have their own prerogative, they have their own mythology, they have their own constitution, they even have a commandment of carnalistic men that they want all men to follow. And it gets worse than that because it goes into the phases of the Antichrist, who comes to disturb or confuse the ideal that there is no God, and come to cause people that come to the reality after they've been changed that they exist to make God happy and began to be steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the God. Then you have the Antichrist who put in place for the period of great tribulation after the saints has been raptured up. Now, there will be people that's in the church now with us that will be left because they did not practice wholeness and devotion to God. for his pledges. So when Jesus comes, they're going to be just like the children of the wise virgins over in the 25th chapter of Matthew, when the 10 virgins went out and 5 was wise, the 5 was foolish. They took not oil, not enough oil in their lamps.
Mm-hmm.
And the bridegroom was scheduled to come at midnight. At midnight, he showed up. Now, the foolish virgins had lamps, had oil, but they went on a partying spree, tending everything, burning their oil. And they were foolish indeed. But the wise servants, they were watching for Jesus. The wise virgins had a lamp burning, and they had extra oil because they was on a thing, making God happy, pleased with God. Now they're looking for him. So they are prepared because he comes at midnight. They lay down, and then they hear the call. They get up because they were wise. They were able to burn the lanterns, and they had oil. So the foolish come running, talking about, give us of your oil, speaking unto the wise. And the wise tells them, say, no, not so. Least there be not enough for us. You had your oil. You had your chance to really make God happy here upon the earth, but you chose. You chose with your choice to do different. You chose to go after Baal. You chose to go after filthy lucre. You chose to have affairs and worship other gods and make your own decisions. You chose to stay under the fallen nature instead of accepting Jesus, which would have been the wise thing to do. Accept him, receive the power, receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guides you according to God's wishes. Well, God is sharing with us tonight and with everybody in this study. Look, I want you to make me happy. That's why I created Adam and Eve, so that they could make me happy there in the garden as humans. But my spirit leading and guiding them into all truth. Notice, before they fell, they were led by a perfect spirit in a perfect world. The world didn't become fallen. It didn't become Adamic. It didn't become different from perfection until disobedience came into the scene. Now, just like us, modern-day Israel today, look at what's happening. Look at how we are falling away from what's right and embracing all kind of devilish and diabolical teachings, and folk are saying it ain't God, and God ain't this, and the scripture ain't this, and the Bible ain't this. Well, I tell you one thing. I won't be like the foolish virgins. See, they're having a good time, and their flesh is being fulfilled, and their lust of the eyes is being fulfilled, and they got pride because you can't tell them nothing because they said they got it all together. They are well-taught, well-learned. So they said they don't want to hear it when you come talking about God. They need to see something tangible, visible, where they can touch, and they need the manifestation to come right now. Well, trust me. If you were making God happy, everything that you desire would be right now, because that's the kind of God we serve. And he said, if we believe in him, he said, if we seek him, then all this other tangible stuff will be added unto him, added unto us. And he tells us, he said, not only do I want you to enjoy all these things that I've given you already, he tells us now, he said, then I want to show you something. See, that's what Jesus was telling preach when he preached his last message there in Revelation 3rd chapter. He say you're wretched and you're miserable, poor, blind, and naked, because you say that I am rich, full of pride. What God is telling us, he said, you, I'm royalty. He said, when you left eternity, when I transfigurated you from eternity to the earth, I designed that your culture would be prosperity. Jesus never preached prosperity. Why? Because he told us, he said, I came that you might have abundance. Prosperity is the culture of the kingdom of God. It's our culture to prosper. That's why Apostle Paul came and he said, I wish above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul shall prosper. The children of God should not negate from making God happy because of prosperity. He tells us already the culture of heaven, the culture of the kingdom of God is prosperity. So it's automatically ours. It was ours before we laid in the womb. God designed it that way. Adam and Eve was not poor in the garden. They weren't lacking anything. They weren't hiding prosperity. They was one with the Maker. So Jesus comes and he brings us back through his death, burial, and resurrection to the place of oneness where we can make God happy. God can get his wishes out of his creation. Is there any questions?
No, but we comment, do have a few people who have joined us, and I want to let them know that we are the lesson is taken from Revelations 4, 1 through 11. That's Revelations 4, 1 through 11, and the topic is why we exist here on earth. So we do have a few callers on the line, listeners on the line. So I don't know if they have anything they'd like to say, but at least I want to give them the where we are speaking from and studying from.
Do anybody have any comments or statements?
I'm enjoying the message.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Let me share with you. Notice, we must, that's why Jesus told us, he said, come. And he said, I want you to take up the gold that's been tried in the fire. He said, and I'm going to give you white raiment that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. That is to say, he's going to make us holy. He's going to give us the knowledge with our choice. He's going to give us the knowledge. He's going to give us the test-tackling fortitude to walk in righteousness. He's going to give it to us, even though we have a problem with the flesh, even though he said we were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He said to us, he's going to give us white raiment, that the shame of the life that we perpetuated before our change, he's going to give us white raiment, that the shame that we've done do not appear before the eyes of God. Wash us in his blood. He's going to make it right for us. He made it right for us. So he told us, he said, if you don't repent, if you don't become wise and be like the wise virgins, when I return, he said, I'll remove your candlestick out of this place. And then I'll blot out your name out of the book of life. Now, it is imperative that we take on God's holy, perfect, and righteous character. It's not hard to do. It's the right thing to do. Now, we've got scars. We've got triumphs. We've got burials that we got to hurry up and cross, because the scripture tells us also in this same book, over in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, he said, nothing defiled shall enter into the kingdom. No whoremonger, no murderer, no liar, the false prophets, the all liars, he said, shall not have no part in God's kingdom, everlasting kingdom, New Jerusalem. So tonight, I urge you, if there's confusion in your mind, in your spirit, and it's halting your walk because you're worried about where your life is going to end up, and you're worried about what the end of your life is going to be, well, you better be steadfast, unmovable right now. In now time, you better be concerned that you are pleasing God and God is happy with you right here, right now. Because he says, I created you. Notice, the angels, they are round the clock. Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Honor, majesty, the 24 elders who had already ascended up to heaven, cast their thrones off their heads and said, we ain't worthy to have no throne before God, and kneel down on their faces and worship, the Bible says, him that sat it on the throne, he that was, he that is, and he that shall be forevermore. Now, in order for us to make that transition, to get caught up with Jesus, in order for us to hear the preparation warning, for us to hear the bugle blown, the trumpet that sound, for us to be in tune spiritually in that way, we must heretically, readily, ready, practice the perfect, holy, and righteous character of God. That's what makes God happy. When he looked down and he sees the fruits of the Spirit being activated in our daily practical lives, then it makes him happy. Because then he says, Lucifer, you didn't get no victory. It wasn't designed for you to get victory. It was designed for you to get the lake of fire, not victory. I predestinated these that are making themselves ready through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, those that have been given access, communing with me. He said, I predestinated them to come into me. They shall walk in Jerusalem. They shall walk in white raiments, showing that they have washed their robes, the blood of the Lamb, and in truth, why they lived upon the earth, even though they face their obstacles and their challenges. He said, I predestinated them to come into the city without, where the gates won't close at all. And then it's going to come down. Now, mind you, in this study, let it be known, as I may make mention, you do not want to be left when children that are pleasing God now leave the earth. Going to be some people left. Going to be some people that you know. It's going to be some people in church with us now. Going to be left. But they're going to really, really seek God when they know that we are not here anymore. They're going to really go to church. But they're going to have to go to church under great scrutiny, persecution, and they're going to have to go through tribulations and trials. The Bible says, since the world began, because the wrath of God will be falling upon those that are left who didn't believe, who didn't have faith. That's why he told us, he said, it's impossible to please God without. So once we have gone, once we have left the earth, because notice when Jesus got through preaching, then what happened? When Jesus got through preaching, then we woke up in heaven. He gave us a chance to repent as he is right now. Amen.
Nah.
So if you don't want to be left and if you want to be on the same frequencies of the Holy Ghost when the trumpet is blown and the saints are tapped into that reality because they're so dedicated and devoted to God now while they're here upon the earth, they turn away from all of the formal things and they tap into the nuance of God's Spirit that he's pouring out upon all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So that when the sound comes, we won't be caught off guard like the five foolish virgins over in the 25th chapter of Matthew. They were caught off guard. Bridegroom had come, but then when he went in, when the bridegroom came and he got everybody, the Bible says that the door was shut. And they come knocking. Hey, we ain't got no bar. Give us some of your arm. The wise virgin told him, no. We got to have things bright because the bridegroom is here. We want to trim our lamps, and you should have gotten your own oil. And the wise told him, say, go to the city and try to get yourself before we get totally out of here. It was too late. Wasn't nobody selling no oil because they had to walk that path with Jesus, and they certainly didn't want to be trying to keep a little lantern going when they got a little step to make. Amen. So now we have tonight, we have proof. Now, let me read something to you on tonight. It's in keeping with our lesson, and it's 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And I'll start at the 21st verse. That's 1 Corinthians, the New Testament. And I'll start reading at the 21st verse. Now, Paul wrote this particular letter here, and it was in 96 A.D., after the death of Christ. This was during the time of Apostle Paul was teaching the church how to be mature. We see in the fourth chapter he was teaching them how to utilize the gifts and be mature in their doings, their tongues, and so on and as such, and teaching them why they was formulated for the body and what wasn't formulated for the body, how they should speak English adverse to tongues. That's something else. But here it says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Now check this out. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. For he had put all things under his feet, but when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God might be all and all. So, I don't know where you are tonight in your maturity, in your walk, but I do believe you are sincere because you are at the study and you're listening to the word of the Lord. But our purpose, again, is to make God happy. He created us for his pleasure. Before he transfigurated us from eternity into the wombs, notice he said, I sanctified you. I gave you a gift, prophecy. I gave you to be a prophet to the nations, to root up, to build, and to pluck and tear down. He said, I've done this before I formed thee, before I brought your mother and father together in intimacy. He said, I had already predestinated your life, and I sanctified you in the womb so the evil from the iniquity of them wouldn't be in you. Now, since God has done this, then the rest of our lives, the rest of our time, it should be a readily ready spirit in us to do the will of God. As the scripture says, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, that your labor should not be in vain. You can't do enough. You can't do enough. I can't do enough to please and to really make God happy, because all of our time should be efforting toward pleasing God. And the fruits of the Spirit that Jesus walked in, the Holy Spirit, is here to remind us, hey, listen, you don't have to worry, for our Father knows what things you have need of. And the Holy Ghost sets us apart so he can handle our affairs here on the earth, so that he can have us mature in our minds to do the things that are asked of us here on the earth, as far as the laws and so forth. But yet he have us to know, you're here, but you're not of this world. You did not originate from this world. This world was created like you was created. So you're passing through just like it's going to pass. For the Bible say, heaven and earth shall pass away. He said, but my word shall remain forever. For the most part, is there any questions or comments or statements? Well,
not at this time.
Amen.
Well, we just feasting on the word, brother. Feasting on the word.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Now, notice, we should not allow our train of thinking to cause us to be weary when it comes to reading the Word of God, or in well-doing, as a saint's supposed to carry out. Now, we should not allow our attention or our focus to be so on the things of this world until we have God on the back burner. We should be willing to lay down everything for God, since we're not here forever, but we're going to be with God forever if we be wise and make him happy. If we take on, now it's important, please, it's important that we take on God's holy, perfect, and righteous character. It's important that we practice that. It's important that we practice God's holy, perfect, and righteous character. Why is it so important? Why is it so necessary, right? Well, I'm glad y'all thought to ask the question. Why is it so important that we take on God's holy, perfect, and righteous character? Why is it so necessary? Why? Well, because Revelation 22, and I'll start reading at 10. Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, and I'll read at 10. It says, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Check this out. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, this is what Jesus said, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandment, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of into the city. For without, look at this, y'all, this is why we must take on God's holy and perfect and righteous character. He said, for without are dogs, sorceries, whoremongers, murderers, adulterators, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now, the bride say come, the spirit say come, whosoever will let him come. And then he teaches us to be mindful that we don't add to the scripture and we don't take away from the scripture. He said, because all of them that will add to the Bible mislead people and cause people to fall. He said, if any man add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away, check this out, his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Look, it's important. I know some people say, well, you can't be perfect. That ain't what Jesus told us. Matthew 5 and 48, Jesus tells us, he said, be ye perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Mm-hmm. If we could reach back to where we fell from, then why did Jesus have to die to reconcile us back? Why did Jesus have to be the propitiation if it didn't matter? If we could just say, God knows that I got my faults and all this kind of stuff, but he just told you, if you got your faults, when time for the church to get out of here, people, if you hold on to your sin and so forth, when the church is time to get out of here, keep them. Notice he said, if you filthy, stay filthy. If you righteous, stay righteous. If you holy, stay holy. Because ain't none of that entering into the city. He said, ain't none of that, nothing defiled shall enter into the city. So we must take on this perfect and holy righteous character. And how do we do that up on the earth in these humanistic bodies when we understand the oneness of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and wisdom which is in us? For our bodies is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So when Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and wisdom, when it leads this body, the Holy Ghost, then that is the right spirit. And we have not been communicating with him like we should. The spirit that have kept us from, we say, that have saved our lives and have been there on Johnny on the spot when everything was going haywire, and the spirit that have told us not to do something and we obeyed and we seen the good results. We have not embraced him like we should. Right after he delivered us, we go back to our old formality of thinking, talking about this is me. Well, if you, and you don't get up out of here when the church leave, then you going to be in some trouble. And you're going to have to serve God in a different kind of way. Because the Holy Ghost is going to let the wrath fall. He ain't gonna be protecting us. Oh, God. You know? He who let will won't be in the way. See, right now, the church is still here, so the Holy Ghost he's doing his job, and he's going to deliver up the children that really take on God's holy and perfect righteous character. We got to really strive to do this. Now, it ain't hard if you desire to do it. It's hard if you are torn between opinions. We were created to make God happy. And I hope something was said that will enlighten you and y'all and the whole worldwide audience and they that will tarry and wait for the Lord and practice his ways and be renewed by the regeneration of the word of God in your mind and take on God's holy and perfect righteous character. I want it. because it's good for me. I noticed that. It's good for me. It's better than my practice that I did when I thought I had the answers.
Mm-hmm.
I want him. I want him. I want him above all that I've learned, all that I've done. I want this holy and perfect righteous character because he said if I take it on, he said he's going to show me unsearchable things that I did not know. Now, a lot of folks think they know it all. But God said he got some stuff that you don't even know. You haven't ascertained
mm-hmm.
yet. Mm. And he wants to show it to you. He said, I want to show it to you. I'm going to show you unsearchable things that theologists and the Laboniers and all of them haven't came across yet. He said, but I'm going to show you unsearchable things. The world haven't even gotten ready to search to go on a safari to see where God is coming from with this that he want to show us.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Adam would fail before he could show them. And through Jesus, he kept it for us. And said, I want to show y'all unsearchable things that you know not of, that you know not. That's saying something, y'all.
Mm-mm-mm. Amen.
Some folks talk about where they done evolved to in their knowledge, in their wisdom. I've evolved. You've come somewhere. It's a pinnacle that somewhere has somebody have already been on. But then God tells us, he said, I want to show you unsearchable things that you did not know. Woo! So it's more to come. So I got to get out of here with the church. I can't hang around talking about I'm going through the second round. No, I'm going first. The wise virgins, they got up and trimmed. They left. They went in with him. The foolish virgin was the one talking about, can you give me some oil? I got to go buy some oil. You can't buy no oil at midnight. Where are you going to get it at? Can't buy no oil at midnight. You got to have it already ready. You got to have it ready to that lantern to go on full blast. When he knocks, you got to say, here I am, Lord. I'm ready. So when he blows, when Gabriel blows his bugle, then if you ain't in the spirit, you won't even hear it. You got to be in this perfect. You got to be making him happy to hear it, for him to tune your mind into this spiritual peace where you can be in the right place, waiting.
Amen.
And you'll get wise enough to start looking for him. I'm looking for him because he said he was coming. And he lied to me. Never. He can't lie. Everything he ever told me came to pass. So I'm waiting. God bless you all tonight, and I hope something was said that will elevate your efforts to make God happy. God bless you. Back into the hands of 16 hosts.
Amen. Amen. I do have something I want to ask, you know, and I'm not sure if all y'all heard about what Putin unveiled. Can we get any conversation on that tonight?
Yes, you're talking about Jesus being
being black.
Is that what yes, is that what you're speaking of?
Yes.
Well,
so
let's
now
read
that,
let's,
that go ahead.
Let's read what color he is. Y'all wanna read what color he is?
And that's that was in Revelations 4:3. And he said, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And I was talking to another gentleman today, and he was saying that the color of those two stones is like a rust color, a darker color. I was like, okay, we know that. And so I was like, okay. You know, well, not that I didn't know. But it was this verification of what Reverend Ron brought this evening and then what I had spoken to someone else today about. So I thought that was real good confirmation that, you know, we know what color our God is. We already know. We already know.
Now that
the whole world knows.
That was God that they saw on the throne. Here's Jesus right here. Here's Jesus right here. If you go Revelation 1:1 and 13, let's start at 13. Let me start at 12, okay? Revelation 1 and 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, check this out. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girdled about the paps with a golden girdle. Now check this out. Here it is. Here's the description of him. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now dig this.
Yeah.
And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And in his and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining in her strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hands on me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death.
Amen.
So his face was of color. His feet was of color. It was not northern cold, but it was of color. Because now let me share something with you. If we go back to Genesis, I say 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, you'll find out where everybody was one color. Everybody spoke with one tongue. But when Nimrod and Queen Samaris start building the Tower of Babel to invade the heavens, God came down and confused their languages. So when their language was confused, they split and went to different parts of the earth.
Yeah.
Some went to the northern hemisphere. Some went to the southern hemisphere. Some went to the western hemisphere. Some went to the eastern hemisphere. But if you notice, all of those people that departed to the eastern, the Middle East, and the southern hemisphere, and all the way back over to the western hemisphere, if you notice, those people were of a melon color. The melon didn't leave their skin until they departed and went into the northern hemisphere, near the equator, where it's terribly cold, near the Antarctic, the poles, and so on and as such.
Amen. And it's funny how people seem to skip that part when they talk about Christ. It's like, why do you skip that? And it's almost like taking black history out of the world. There is no history without black history. Sorry.
No.
Now that the world, quote unquote, knows the truth, truth shall what?
Set make you free.
And we are free indeed. Amen. I just want to bring that up because go ahead.
Thank you for that. Thank you for sharing that. But now Now we don't have to worry about prosperity because that's our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Prosperity is the kingdom of God's culture. Notice it says there's not going to be no pain, no crying, there's not need for nothing. And matter of fact, everything is of splendorous eloquence because it's gold. They need no light. They need no sun. The gates. Now, who's the architect of all of this? All of this great, 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 insurmountable number of wealth. God is the architect of all the golden gates. He's the architect of the golden foundation. He's the architect of the whole place illuminized with a light that's not the sun or the moon. He is the architect of everything, and he tells us right there. You read it tonight in Isaiah 43 and 10 through 17. He tells us, without before me, there was nothing.
Nothing.
Can I say something?
Not a thing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
So I think, so again, a lot of times I think that some of the things that they put out there is put out there because in the Bible it says there's neither male or female, Greek nor Jew. Now, you know, the Bible, it say the men's and the son of God's. It don't mention women's. So I think some things are better, and I can't say better left alone, but I think some things actually shows our maturity level. Now, why do I say that? If there's neither male nor female, Greek or Jew, then there's no ethnicity. Mm-hmm. There's none of that. It's no separation.
Mm-hmm.
So again, to talk about separation is so what I learned a long time ago, and I think I learned it, is whenever I try to compete, I make a statement that I'm lower than. Just by the mere fact that I try to compete and compare. You see, here's the thing. My soul has to be happy. My soul has to know who I am and what I am. What you say, the rest, it don't matter to me because it's only what God say that matters. And what he's saying, so here's the thing. Is God going to turn away a white man or a black man? Well, with spirit ain't black or white. You see, we're looking at dirt. We're looking at dirt. So it don't matter what color dirt is. Dirt do like dirt do. Now this is me again. I'm not looking for recognition or status. I'm not looking for somebody to define me. God did that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so again, what I think, and this is just me again, I think it's better I'll spend more time being than celebrating. Does that make sense? Again, we know what the Bible says. It says that my dirt comes from a different place than your dirt. Now watch this. We know that we're spirit. We live in a body. We possess a soul. Right or wrong? See, we admiring dirt. We trying to say my dirt's better than your dirt, but it's all dirt.
It's all dirt.
Huh?
It's all dirt.
So when I get caught up in, and it's just like, you know, the battle of the mind is a serious thing. Our problem is we try to be, think about this. Think about all the people that wear Calvin Klein and Polo and all this stuff. Why do they wear that? Michael Jordan, why do they wear that? Huh?
It's to be set apart.
Well, you know what it is? It's an identity crisis. You see, the Bible said Jesus made of himself what? No reputation. You see, the Bible said he became poor, which means he gave up everything he had and everybody and what he was in sort. You see, he became poor so that we through him may be rich. He didn't care about the polos. He wasn't in the synagogue. He wasn't born. Oh, I'm sorry. He wasn't born there. He didn't live there. That's not where he worked at. He worked at where the people needed help at. And God sent us here to do that work, God can use, he used a donkey before, didn't he?
I bet the donkey
ain't going around saying, he made us who he made the horse.
No.
So I think sometimes the distraction. So how do you tell the weakest link? Because they're the one that's talking about things that's irrelevant. And I don't mean that
exactly.
In advance. Does that make sense, Pastor Ron?
Exactly.
Making the loudest noise. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, and that's how I feel. So again, what they say, listen at this, Doc. You know, because if we want to know about population, you know, in the United States, the only place where the blacks, I mean, I say only place in a sense, a minority.
Mm-hmm.
But in the world, Caucasians are the minority in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all know that? You see, mm-hmm. But again, it's all depending on where you're from, where you are.
Right.
You know, can I, you see? So we need to work on things that's important. How can I be a good servant? What can
mm-hmm.
I do? That, what's
mm-hmm.
my purpose? What do God
mm-hmm.
want for me?
Mm-hmm.
You see, God's before
mm-hmm.
before anything was, He is. You
mm-hmm.
see, and so
and
if I'm from Him, yes, and if
mm-hmm.
I'm from Him, Sister Inez, you remember that song that used to sing? Said, if I'm a believer, or something, there ought to be some sign or something. There used to be a song like that.
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, if I'm a Christian, then there needs to be some signs. If I'm a believer, there needs to be some signs. I don't have to tell you about my pedigree. You'll see it in my walk.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see it
yeah.
in my talk.
Mm-hmm.
Some things I don't have to brag about. I don't have to.
At
so
all.
When we talk, and listen to me, when we talk another race down to prove that we're superior, then we're
mm-hmm.
actually, we're inferior because we talk them down to be superior. That's an inferior person. That's a weak
mm-hmm.
person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Because we know God's got all power. Mm-hmm. And here's what I do know. Listen to this. You know why we went through? Not because we were less than, it's because we were designed to take it.
Mm.
That's a purpose.
Mm.
That's a purpose.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
remember the old saying, I've been picked out to what?
Be picked up. Yeah.
You see?
Mm.
But God's
mm.
purpose, he only sent them. There was only one Judas.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have no competitors. When you a peculiar people, you can
yeah.
tell
your people. That's
the
right.
world is going to pick on you. Listen at this. The enemy, it seems like he's coming at one race, and I don't believe in race like that, but because I believe in the human race. But again, he comes at some
uh-huh.
people more so than others. Can I tell you
yeah.
why he comes at some people more than others?
Mm-hmm.
That tells me because something in him is greater than what he's got.
Exactly.
Mm.
It's greater than what everybody else got. Yeah, you see?
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, and so again with me, since you know, if you know your pedigree, see, you ain't ever seen a mutt walk like a pool, have you?
No.
You see,
uh-uh.
You ain't ever seen a mutt walk like a pool, Doc. You ain't ever seen a mutt walk like a pool. You won't see it.
Yeah.
You won't see it. And then you look at these Clydesdale. Yes, and these Clydesdale horses. You don't see them walking like a regular horse, dude. They be walking proud.
No, they
be strutting.
Hello, you see?
Yeah.
And listen to this. The thing is, it's not that they have to be taught that way. It's in their pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
It's in their gene pool.
That's how they're taught.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. And see, that's why Jesus went through 40 and two generations, and he come through some of everybody's lineage because he needed all that blood, all that lineage. He needed a pure bloodline.
Yeah.
He needed
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To get the exact person that he wanted. See, we think, well, it took that. No. He was keeping the bloodline pure. He was looking for the right people to pass up through.
Mm.
You see? And so there was traits in bloodline. There's traits. Different traits give different qualities. Hello? Am I talking?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You see? You know? So, again, we take something that God gave us. We make it hard. We make it a task.
Mm.
How do you
yeah,
make something
yeah.
task when he said just speak it?
Mm.
And then even in Isaiah, he said, before you ask, I'll answer.
I would have already answered.
What kind of God is that?
Ooh. Now, we can get things
he already knows before we even...
Hello. So here's the what that tells me, if I'm going through either I've been purposed to go through or I've chosen to go through. Hello. You see? Because he know what I need before I ask. But again, sometimes we have to release the word into the universe. See, God can just come down here and tear things up. He had to make himself a body. Hello. And the person, because in this dimension, you've got to have an earth suit to dwell. You think I'm lying when when they cut that silver cord, you're getting out of here. You can't be in this this dimension without an earth suit. See, Satan have to use bodies, don't he? Huh?
Yeah.
That's this realm. That's how it was made. And so, again, you know, we're so much powerful than we think we are, but we've allowed time, society, and what we see. Sometimes we get to what we see is not what we see. It's what we think it is. It becomes that. And it's not that it becomes that, but it's our thinking process is off. So, again, is the glass half full or half empty? You see? How
just
do we
half.
See it?
It's just half.
You see? You see? You know, so a lot of times our mind designs our future. So sometimes God allows us to go through situations and circumstances that helps mold our mind to be. I remember when Jesus said, Lord, remove this cup. However, if it be thy will, I'll drink it. Now, you heard spirituality and humanity. So, because here's the thing. The Jesus, the Spirit, Jesus, the Christ part. Jesus the Christ, and then come Christ Jesus. But see, Jesus Christ was the humanity. Christ Jesus was the divinity. And so you heard him say, Lord, remove this cup. Well, Jesus, if it be thy will, I'll drink it. Well, you, God, when you came here, you knew you had to drink it.
That's right.
You see?
Now
you see? You see, he came here for that purpose. He knew what God
already
knew.
He
saw God when he's creating the world. He knew what God knew. You see? So, again, I think saints play a dangerous game, and they want to play these mind games, and that's where we lose. So when we don't understand the difference between the conscious and the subconscious, which we program ourselves to be what we said we don't want to be because we think more of what we don't want to be than what we want to be. And see, faith comes by hearing. So whatever we put in there, see, faith is neither negative or positive. Faith is how we see it. See, our action determines the negativity and the positivity of it. So believing that it will and won't is the same belief. You see, I think one of the guys, Ford, somebody said, if I believe I can or if I believe I can't, I'm right. Don't matter which one it is. And so we have faith in the negative, and faith in the negative is just as powerful as the faith in the positive because we're the creators of whatever we say. So it don't matter. Like when the parents used to tell those girls, hey, don't bring no baby home. What you're saying is you scared you're going to get pregnant. That's what you're saying. So what you said became what you didn't want.
Don't hurt nobody.
You see? So, again, but these preachers play these old games and, you know, do 12 spins and all this stuff. You need a blessing, pay God. You know, man, miss me with that old school pimping stuff. This ain't Huggy Bear here. You know, I can read and I commune with God. You see, I know his word is true. I know he can't lie. So whatever he said becomes. So I'm trying to get God to talk to me because whatever he said becomes. You see? I don't have to convince myself when he's already spoke on me. Ain't got to do it. We don't have problems. The thing is, we're the creator of the problem. You know, we're the creators of the problem. Let me tell you something. The devil want to be done in anonymity. He don't want everybody to know he exists. We the problem. It ain't him. We the problem.
Amen.
You know, we never get to what we'll say, God, remove this devil and we'll die. Because it ain't him. We forget. He can only lie. He can lie and he can deceive. He can't kill. He can tell. That's all he can do. That's the limit of his powers. But anyway, I'm done. I'm sorry, y'all.
No, no.
Why are you
thank
sorry?
You. Thank you for
no.
sharing.
Sorry about.
No, I'm just saying.
Don't ever
we just got so far.
What God gave you.
I won't. I'm not. But, you know, sometimes I got to respect my brother's time because he brought a powerful message in. He did
well,
so good.
Thank you for sharing. Let's be fitting to
know.
It.
Yeah.
We do tag teams.
Yeah.
He's
okay.
not hurting nobody.
Yeah,
we do tag teams.
Okay. But like I said, we you know, when you know who you are, when you
yeah.
know who you are,
uh-huh.
you're going to act different. You know, when you know who you are, you're going to act different. Like I said, a pool
mm-hmm.
don't act like mud. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't have to buy name brand to be known.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Uh-uh.
He said a man's
mm-hmm.
life does not possess, I mean, consists of the abundance of things that he possesses.
Which he possesses.
So my life is not about things. My life is about the life I live, what I do with that time, my most valuable asset. How
mm-hmm.
do I
right,
manage
right.
the time that God gave me? How do people
yeah.
see me? When I die, what will they say about me?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
What is that dash? That's right.
You
That's
see?
Right. What is that
mm-hmm.
dash?
So,
mm.
like I say, we as saints, we could have turned things around a long time ago, but we could kick God out of school. Then they start shooting school up.
Yep, that's right.
You know, everything we can, but you know what? We become the modern Sodom and Gomorrah. We become the 21st century Sodom and Gomorrah. You see,
mm-hmm.
so now we have no rights. You know, I can't, man, we have no rights. We have no rights. If it's a young boy, if he said, don't call me a boy, I'm a girl. If we say something crazy, we in trouble.
Mm.
You see, but in another country, they'd have knocked his head off.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would
right.
throw rocks at it because
mm-hmm.
you know we know it's wrong, but they're forcing us. They're forcing us to become a perverted generation, and we can't even see it. And we can remove those people, then we won't even do it.
Mm.
You know. So they move men out the house, and now the government is the fathers.
Mm.
You see? Send the young blacks to jail.
That's the truth.
And now Social Security and all this other stuff, welfare, become the daddies now.
Mm.
You see?
Come on, say it.
And so I'll be glad when everybody, because again, you know, the person that's my brother and sister, the ones that believe like I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I mean, because if you had a Hatfield and a McCoy both bleed, the fuse is going to stop eventually.
Yeah.
Because all that old stuff is going to die out. But the
mm-hmm.
thing is, we've not served God like we should have in most of our lives. And I think this is why I'm here at this state and time and for what's going on in this era, because we have to call a spade a spade. We
mm-hmm.
have to say
uh-huh,
you're right
uh-huh.
or you're wrong. You know, my
mm-hmm.
son got upset at me today when I told him, I said, son, listen to me. Well, I don't know. I told him, I said, you know, you need to start spending more time with the Lord. Well, I will, but you know what, young folks, you know, we don't like nobody telling us we got to do it. I said, well, you can go to hell with them. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
He said, huh? I said, yeah, you, huh? What? I mean, it's the truth, you know.
That's right.
He got so
That's
mad.
Right. I just like You just gotta
he
got to be transparent. Just got to do it.
Yeah, he got so upset he left. And so, but the whole thing is this, son, you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. And
mm-hmm.
I can tell you, not well, I can serve my God at home. Well, he said, forsake not to assembling with the other brethren.
Yeah.
So how you going to get over that?
And if you're
you
going to be at home.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, how you going to get a part of a corporate blessing when you're not a part of a corporate body?
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
You see, so you can struggle, you can do it all you do, you know, you can make all this money, but when it's go before I go, I'm gonna spend it, I'm gonna go buy what you don't like. That's what I'm gonna do.
mm-hmm.
But you know, again, we you know, and you got all these problems because years ago when they had welfare. You know, the welfare started back when they had the World War One and Two and all that. So the men's went to war, the women's went to the factories to work to make the bullets and ammunition and stuff. So when the men came home, the women's had all the job. Well, the women make good money, and she ain't got to get penny pinched by no brother. Well, guess what? She said, oh, I ain't working that job. So now you meet a woman. Look here. She don't just have the bacon. She on the hog. She on the whole pig. You know, you want a car. She don't need you to buy a car. She got two cars.
Mm-hmm.
She'll need you to buy groceries.
Right.
She got a freezer full. Whether she go out and buy it or Uncle Sam give it to her, she got a freezer full of food.
Mm-hmm.
She don't need you.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, what happened is, I want to show you this. So what happened is Uncle Sam told the men, they moved the men out of the projects. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't stay with you. If they
mm-hmm.
stayed with you, you have to get out. Well, you
mm-hmm.
got $3 rent. And you
mm-hmm.
had to pay $300 in the streets. Well, you know, $3 rent's a good deal to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd pay it too. But again, the thing was, then you lose the father's protection, the father's guidance, the father's
mm-hmm.
image, and what it means to be a man. You were never brought into adulthood or sonship. So now the whole generation is messed up. So here's what you got now. So the women's, they weren't out there playing ball with the little boys and making men's out of them. So now you got these little boys that don't have to men's or women's. You see? Now, am I blaming on the women's? No, I'm not. I told them I'm blaming it on the government. Because we know in the government you got a right wing and a left wing, right? Well, my Bible said that a house divided against itself, what? Can't stand. You got left and right. You got a Republican, Democrat. No, it can't stand. It's not. The Bible says it's not. So I don't ever believe either one of them. And so now you got these women. So for the last 20, 30 years, these little kids are normally in because the government favors the mother over the father. Correct. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to rub out what we call fathership, fatherhood, a father. That block that builds the family. What God built, this whole creation on one man. Tell me I'm wrong. If he started with one man, this whole generation started with one man.
Right.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So God said that. So now guess what? So you got these women 20 years later, they saying these men's a dog. Well, don't say that because y'all been raising for the last 20, 30, 40 years. You wanted a better man, but you couldn't raise him. You sure couldn't build one.
Amen.
You see? But you want the child support, but you don't want the man around. But anyway, you honestly, no.
Don't hurt nobody. Don't hurt nobody.
Just facts, man.
Just facts.
Yeah.
Nothing but the facts.
That's all. You know, we don't have to be broke. We don't have to be poor. God gave us mind. God's a creator. We're creators. More money we're made by creating than anything else, but we don't want to use our mind. We use it for foolishness. Or we'll take and they come up with copyright. Copyright, the word copyright is another word for stealing. if you ain't got enough money to produce it, I'm going to produce it. And if I can get you the copyright office first, it belongs to me. Or patent, copyright and patent, right, Brother Ron?
Yeah.
If you got a copyright and patent, can't nobody produce it but you. You see? So again, you know, but we got all the bright ideas. We made a lot of stuff. So I have to look at everything in a different way. So I have to look at, you know, who's my brother now?
Yeah.
Because I used to be that kind of guy. Yes. Since I knew, I would carry a grudge. Doc, if I invented and you build every one of them every morning, it's going to be cracked up or messed up. You ain't going to take my idea and get paid off again. Ain't going to give me nothing. No. You know, hey, Brother Ron, you know, the Bible said, remember that guy that unjust steward who took in all these people that he owed, he was mean to him, he took and said, get, you owe me 100, give me 50, you owe me 75,
right.
Give me 30, and all
right.
that. And then, and what did the king say? He told him, but what he did was smart. He said that the world and their generation are what? Wiser than the children of light.
That's what he said.
Uh-huh.
He knew how to win out didn't bargain. He said the world and their generation are wiser than the children of light.
That
ain't nothing good for God to say about his folks, huh?
No.
That's facts, man. But we don't use our mind. You know, all we have to do is let God do what he do. We don't have to think. God's already done. Everything's already done. He said, I know the plans that I have for you, which means he's already got it planned out.
He got it done.
You know, but we trying to wake a dead man, which is necromancy, because he said that the old man is crucified, or the old man is dead, right?
That's what he said.
So if the old man is dead, how can he go back to his old ways?
Ooh.
Somebody lies somewhere. See, if the old man is dead, a dead man can't do nothing. You see, I can't say I was abuser, get saved, then go back to being abused, because my members are instruments of righteousness from the time that I get saved. So if I want to smoke, I got to ask God for permission to use these mouths. If I want to hit somebody, I got to ask God for permission to use these hands. Because old man is dead. You know, Paul said it best. He said, while I live, nevertheless, not I.
Because he knew
the old man was dead. And the old man can't do nothing, Doc. He's subdued. But that thinking is thinking. That thinking think we can do it. No, we can't. You can't. You just ain't saved. Go on, tell the truth.
Thank the devil.
Miss Inez, it ain't always the devil either. I hate to say it ain't always the devil. Free will make
it's
free
not.
Will. See, we can turn God down and we can turn the devil down too, can't we?
Yeah, we can. That's
so
true.
If we can, it ain't the devil.
It ain't the devil.
We have to make the choice. He can do the temptation, but we make the choice. That ain't the devil. That's us.
Amen.
Thank y'all. I appreciate y'all for giving
Amen.
Me talk time.
Amen. That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. That's all right. That's all right. Thank you. Can't do nothing after that, but have invitation to discipleship.
Yeah.
Say, come to Jesus. Thank you, Reverend Bean. That was tag team there right there. That's some tag team. That's some tag team stuff right there. So, what? It was. I mean, you know, because it's always good to have, you know, that little, as my mom would call it, land job, little extra. So thank you. You can come in and sit in and listen and partake anytime you want. Thank you. But we are open for invitations to discipleship. Sounds like, let me see. Apostle Chris, you want to do invitation? Or are you busy?
Is he muted?
He might be muted. He and Pastor Betty like to talk it on mute. You there, Apostle Chris? Okay. Reverend Bean, do you mind doing invitation to discipleship?
Yes, for everybody that don't know Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Now the time anybody can give themselves to the Lord. He's here. He's present. He's accepting kingdom citizens. And if you give yourself to the Lord tonight, there's a lot of us here. You can text, call, Sister Inez. She'll direct you to a great minister or great church in your area, because our job is to bring you to the Lord. We catch him, he'll clean him. And that's what we're doing tonight.
Yeah.
We'll just give you the word of God to change your life. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
We heard the word of God tonight.
So now we ask everybody to change your way, change your direction. Run to Christ. Run to God. Open your heart and let him in. Open your heart and let him in. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if you want to be prayed for, you can always call us at 845-241-9985. As well, if you want to give your life to Christ, you can call in, or you can send us an email at letsdoitradio@gmail.com, and I can put you in contact with any one of the ministers that we have that join us from time to time in Little Rock, Arkansas, and Washington State, Florida. We can put you in contact with somebody anywhere, so don't think that, you know, you're so far out there that you aren't close enough to anybody, because you have to go out into the vineyards to preach, and so we have to bring them out. We throw the net out, and whichever we catch, we bring in. And as Pastor Bean says, we clean them. We will clean them, definitely clean them. Again, that number is 845-241-9985. And there's a song playing in the background that says, "Don't Turn Away From God," and that's sung by Reverend Ronnie Marshall. So don't turn away from God, because these times are trying, and you don't have to do this by yourself. You can, you know, come as you are. You know, we'll clean you, we'll fix you up, we'll make you pretty, as they say. So, you know, don't be ashamed. You know, it's never too late, never, never, ever too late to come. You know, come as you are. Bring somebody with you, and you don't have to come alone, and don't ever think that you're alone, because God will, you know, you take that one step, and you got other people behind you, backing you up, helping you to walk that walk and talk that talk. So we want to thank Reverend Ron again for that message, and the message was why we exist here on earth, taken from Revelation 4:1-11. Again, that's Revelation 4:1-11. And if you want to hear this again after the it's finished being aired, you can always go back and listen at www.blogtalkradio.com/letsdoitradio to hear the word again. So thank you, thank you, thank you for those of you who are out there. Anybody have any announcements? Anybody have announcements?
Hey, I'm on the air.
Oh, now you are. Go ahead.
My alarm was every time the door opened something, the alarm messed with my phone, so I couldn't get back to you.
Okay.
But I thank you. Praise God for Brother Ron. I thank and praise God for the word that he brought on tonight. And
amen.
Brother Bean, I thank you. I call a spade a spade. You know, if you're a spade, you're a spade.
That's
you know,
right.
I'm not one to call a punk a punk. I ain't kidding.
So funny.
And I think and praise God. You know, I can talk about you and put my feet under your table and eat your food, because the word says,
"Come on,
if I eat any deadly thing, it won't harm me."
That's right.
So I thank and praise God for the word that went forth on tonight.
Amen.
On third Saturday, we will be feeding at the Compassion Center. All the people will take the wheel and feed on third Saturday at the Compassion Center.
Okay.
And praise God
Amen.
For that.
Amen.
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 You have any announcements, Reverend Ron?
Well, no, not right now. There are some things coming up, but we'll talk about it, but not tonight.
Okay. You, Reverend Bean, do you have any announcements?
No, but I got to say this, and I have to say every time. You know, the Bible says, "Give honor to whom honor is due." And so, you know, I learned about speaking the truth years ago, And I'm gonna let y'all guess who it is. I'm not gonna tell y'all it's Brother Chris, but I'm gonna let you guess who it is. And so I remember Brother speaking the word, and it almost scared me. I'm like, wow, what is he? Is he saying that? But you know what I did? No. Listen to me. I went through what he talked about, and so when I found out that it's. You know, when the words say that if my brother's in sin, I don't go to him. His blood is on my hand. Uh-huh, I don't know what they got, but I ain't going to let no blood be on my hand. I'm gonna tell it like it is, and I don't care if they're pulpit pimp. I don't care if they're fuddy-duddy. I don't care. The whole thing is you are what you are. And if somebody don't tell you because of the misbelief and people not really knowing, they'll think they're right. Uh-huh. But if they're not, you have to let them know. Because, you know, David couldn't build a temple because he's a man of war. He had too much blood on his hands.
Yep.
And God loved that brother. But he wouldn't let him build a temple. As much as he loved him, he would not because he had too much blood. And so my thing is, I got that from Brother Chris. So y'all understand, when I say what I say, I'm going to stand firm. If the Bible said it, I'm going to say it. If I see it, I know it ain't wrong, then I'm going to say it. If you don't like me, talk to God about it.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Come
because,
on.
Again, at the end of the day, they got no heaven to put me in.
Mm.
You see? You know, I preached a sermon at a church one time. I talked about too many hypocrites was in the pulpit. Needless to say, I hadn't been back.
I bet you had. Maybe you stepped on their toes.
They will be all right.
Brother Chris, I thank God for you, brother. I think I learned so much from you and Sister Betty, but especially you, brother. I learned a lot. And that is, somebody's got to stand up and be a man.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, a man of God has got to be a man of God.
Yep.
And that's just how it is. Even if they have to come through and cut heads off in the king's head, too, you got to do what God tell you to do. The end.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
There's too many gristlebacks in the pulpit now. Want to be your friend.
Right.
No. Got to preach the unadulterated truth.
Don't hurt nobody.
Pastor Betty preached a sermon the other day on the radio, supposed to be on the prayer line. And needless to say, Dan invited her back.
But she didn't want to go to no country club anyway.
Well, you know what the scripture said? They wouldn't endure sound doctrine. You know, the Bible said they wouldn't endure sound doctrine.
Hey, Brother Chris, tell Sister Betty I'm going to make some cards for her. When they do that, it's going to say Ichabod on the card and just put it on the dough.
You are so wrong. So wrong, but so right at the same time. Amen.
If you don't tell them the truth, they'll never know it.
Never know it. Mm-mm. They will never, ever, ever know it. Amen.
So we don't want to be like Creflo Dollar or TD Fakes. We don't want to be like them.
You said TD Fakes?
TD Fakes and Cash Flow Dollar.
Cash Flow Dollar.
Well, I guess they Creflo.
Y'all have something. I know exactly who you're talking about. Cash Flow Dollar. I love it. I never looked at it that way.
Well, at least he came back and apologized by his spirit message. He did. He didn't get no money back, but he did apologize for it.
You know.
Yeah, he did.
That money was looking too good.
Still got them planes.
That money was looking too good. Mm-hmm.
You know.
That money was looking way too good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank the Lord for the gospel and the truth.
Amen.
It is the truth that will set us free.
That's right. Tell like a T.I.T. What does sister say?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
She said she liked the gospel. Good news.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 She spoke about that on the other day. Yes, she did. The gospel. Amen. Amen. Well, the announcements I have is I want to wish everybody a happy birthday, happy anniversary, congratulations on promotions and all of your victories. The last few days of days coming until I come back on the air again. Tomorrow night we have Let's Talk About It with Miss Inez says Let's Talk About It. And we were talking about hidden in plain sight, satanic symbols. Boy, we had a conversation last night. It was good. It was really good.
Oh, yeah.
Those of you who missed it,
that was on the left.
You got to go back and listen. You got to go back and listen. Reverend Ron was whew. It was good. So we're going to continue tomorrow night with part two, and until you know we finish with, because I only got to like three symbols, and so we were, and like I say, I always let people let us converse, because sometimes I bring about a topic and then it gets broadened. So I appreciate each and every one of y'all for those of you who joined us. And this Sunday we have Pastor J. Rick Rollins from the Edge Community Church on April the 14th speaking to us from Central Florida, Tampa. And Monday is tax day. Monday is tax day. So I know I don't have my Asisa, don't remind me. So if you all don't have your taxes done, it's close to getting time, because I know I don't have mine done. But anyway, so I just wanted to bring that to you. So tax day on Monday. So hey, that's what it is. That's what it is. That's what it is. So and then we have, as Apostle Chris was saying, on the Compassion Center in Little Rock, Arkansas, the feeding of the homeless, their minds, their bodies, and their souls, each third Saturday of each month in Little Rock, Arkansas, starting at 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can go get a good meal. You can go get your mind fed, your body's fed, and your soul's fed at the same time. And also keep supporting Reverend Ronnie Marshall by purchasing and listening to his music through all music media. You heard some of his music tonight as I play when he does speak. And my books are still, the books that I have an anthology with are still being sold as a number one international best-selling author in the U.S. and in the U.K. For She Said Yes to Herself Unapologetically. It's an anthology of 31 women who had written that book, and copies are available for $31, and that includes shipping and handling, and if you want it signed as well. So you can always call me, text me, DM me, Facebook me, Instagram me, it doesn't matter, or send me an email at letstheradio@gmail.com. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, each morning at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and 6 a.m. Eastern time, the Eagle Saints Outreach Ministry gets on the line, and they have daily studying of the Bible, and they're doing it throughout the year. So if you would like to join them in the mornings, you can do so at 605-472-5587. Again, it's 605-472-5587, and the PIN is 931-403-POUND. That's 931-403-POUND. And they'd appreciate you joining. They do have some young people who come on as well in the morning. So you know how hard it is to get young people up at that early in the morning. But they do. They do have young people who join in. So please join in if you have the time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And to keep Let's Do It Radio on the air, you can donate to Cash App, $ANAISEBALCOUR, or through Venmo at Ms. MZ-INEZ, or to Zell. If you know my cell, I'm a tell. So thank you, thank you, thank you again to the Let's Do It listening audience, the worldwide audience, because, boo, we got people all over, from Germany to Brazil to Spain to Japan to Korea. All of them are listening. So you just think we're here in the United States? We're like Pastor Betty and Apostle Chris. We're international. We are worldwide. So just like them, there are Harvest World Ministries International. We just don't be in the States. We be everywhere. I'm talking about everywhere. So thank you, thank you, thank you for the listening audience. And if you have a topic you'd like to discuss, holler at a sister. You can send me an email at letsdoitradio@gmail.com, and you might just be discussing your topic. And if you have anything in your chest, let's get it off. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, on Miss Inez Says, let's talk about it. We might be discussing your topic. You might hear yourself on the radio. Let's Do It Radio. So, you know me. I have been your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Inez Falco Design, and the number one best-selling author in the U.S. and in the UK. Hey, hey. So, the thought of the week is change is the key ingredient in the recipe of life. Let me say that one more again. Change is the key ingredient in the recipe of life. So, if you want change in your cake, in your walk, in your talk, you got to change it because it's the key ingredient in the recipe of life. We will have prayer and benediction by Reverend Ron, and then we'll be left out on a song. And but God's got a blessing for you. It's in your hands, Reverend Ron.
Amen. God bless you on tonight. After this man, therefore I pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed would be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. God's got a blessing for you. Amen. Amen. Remember, love each other, love on each other, and if nobody has told you that they love you, I love you, and God does too. Call a friend, as just hearing your voice may be the voice that saves them. Thank you all again for joining us this evening. Be blessed throughout the rest of the week, and look forward to hearing from you. In Jesus' precious name, amen, and good night. Thank you, Reverend Ron.